A risk management plan for the site, and within that risk management plan, fire has obviously been identified as a significant hazard that needs to be managed and managed well. Well, the estimated cost at this point is $3 million. The $3 million is to remove the materials from site and to have those materials treated or destroyed. I guess the second stage of remediating this site is a matter to be worked through at a later date. That cost at this point in time is being shared between local government and central government, and at the end of this we will seek to recover costs.
Probably 4,000 drums and then another 500 of these IBCs, which is intermediate bulk container or cube. They're aiming to do a couple hundred a week of these, and they've done quite a lot so already, so they're well into it. Each container out here is basically regarded as unidentified. They're either not labeled or mislabeled. Each container has to be opened. They do some monitoring on that container when it's opened with some air monitoring equipment. And then they collect a sample of the contents and they send that off to a laboratory. Based on the results that they get back from the laboratory, that'll determine where that material can go or where it can be disposed. So broadly, there are paints is one of the things. We found solvents. There's two types of solvents. One is chlorinated and one's non-chlorinated. So chlorinated solvents are used a lot in the dry cleaning industry and for cleaning, stuff like that. Those have to be shipped to separately from the non-chlorinated. The chlorinated solvents are much less flammable or not flammable at all, but they are more persistent in the environment. So for like groundwater, soil, something like that. And then your fire risk and things like that would be more your non-chlorinated solvents.
In terms of recycling, you would probably distill them. That would be sort of the best way of getting the pure solvent back from a whole lot of muck. If your solvents are non-chlorinated, if they don't contain chlorine, they can be incinerated and so burnt for energy, basically. Which means they end up as CO2. And if they are chlorinated, then they have to be incinerated in a specially designed high temperature incinerator. And I believe they have to go offshore. You know, I hate stories like this because it's absolutely irresponsible. It's really not a good look for chemistry as a whole. And it probably needs to be stressed that it sounds like it's the actions of one person, really. In an operation like this, that there would be all sorts of protocols, procedures, et cetera, that would have to be followed and that would have to be documented by an outside agency. So, you know, obviously something has fallen down somewhere. You know, in the university system, we have to follow the health and safety rules very, very closely. You know, we live with the threat of our labs being closed down if we don't follow the protocols to the letter. So, you know, where were the people who were checking up on this or who were meant to be checking up on this? So, you know, there's no reason why these sorts of chemical residues and stuff can't be recycled safely. And, you know, there's a big push in chemistry these days that's so-called green chemistry, whereby exactly this is done. We're looking for ways in which we can make industrial processes a lot cleaner, a lot greener, and this involves using solvents that are less harmful to the environment and certainly regenerating and recovering solvents that are used, you know, and it just makes sense.